Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 50. 50.
That's big time.
Big time. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffey alongside me tonight. In Las Vegas, kind of a recovery week for us, to be honest, man. The London straight into the madness of UFC 196 made for a long week, and this week's kind of been low-key for us, man. We're kind of prepping up before we head back out of town again, and it's been kind of nice. I actually had, like 3 days off, man. I slept a lot and hung out.
Yeah, dude, and if I could, I'd be back on that couch doing it again. I mean, it's addicting. You're right, man. After the 2 weeks, man, that was – It was rough. I mean, not that we would ever complain about being on the road or whatever, but, you know, after a couple of weeks, you know, some of the long flights, you get back and, you know, then the life that you've kind of stepped away from starts settling back in. You think about all the obligations and all the errands and all the things you put on hold when you're on the road. It all just adds up, and then it's just like that couch just looks so inviting. And it's just like you want to get there and you just want to sit down and you want to enjoy it, and then there's just – it's just never ending. I mean, I won't ever complain about, you know, nonstop.
No,
but man,
man,
it is it wears you down. So yeah, this week's been good.
UFC 196 was nuts, man. The whole week was nuts. The expectations from our bosses at USA Today and MMA Junkie about the type of coverage they wanted. I mean, things didn't go all that well for Conor McGregor in the end, but it was certainly a star going in. And you know, again, even the big bosses at USA Today were wanting extra coverage, so it was just busy. You know, you're trying to deal with that jet lag and then come right back into it. You know, we had a nice little bonus episode, 49.5. If you didn't get enough of 196 coverage, you can certainly still download that one and check out our post-fight coverage. But, you know, now that we're kind of a week removed or so from UFC 196, and we've started to kind of shift forward a little bit, first of all, I will say, I can't share specifics of it, but as a website operator, just to give people an idea of how these things track, so I always think the trends are super interesting. Our traffic was massive all week long. I mean, and this is a week that you consider, yes, there's quite a bit of MMA going on. There's Invicta Friday night. There's World Series of Fighting Saturday night. But neither one of those cards are really, really big cards. And we kept traffic on MMA Junkie all week long, basically as if it was still an event week. And granted, we had a lot of you know, new unique coverage on there, but I really think it was all very obviously just driven by the continued fallout from UFC 196.
Yeah, it's true. And at first I thought you were maybe talking about the MMA Roadshow website traffic.
Well, I mean, yeah,
you know, I mean,
massive.
I mean, nonstop. I'm like, look at the numbers go. I'm
surprised the servers could even stay up.
No, but you're right, and that's always – it's always fun to see that, you know, because it's – you know, as much as we live in the bubble, you know, we're always thinking about it. We're always, you know, whatever, you know, looking at it and looking at other stuff, you know, and it's interesting to see, you know, that people just like us are constantly looking and wanting more and more information and more and more stuff. And, you know, that's kind of what we strive to do, is to bring more and more of that stuff, and even the stuff that a lot of times even in the bubble are like, oh – maybe they don't want to see this. Maybe they don't want it. It's like, well, let's throw it up there. Let's just put up, because more than likely we're going to be wrong and there's going to be somebody that's exactly what they're looking for, you know. So it's kind of – it's amazing to see it, you know, and I love all the traffic, and hopefully it keeps growing and keeps Junkie there on the top and the roadshow.com number two.
Yeah, just number two in the world, right behind it in the world of MMA. Well, we are chilling here at my house this evening. I am on kid duty, so if you hear a little bit of Disney Junior in the background, that's what's going on there.
MMA Junkie Eli.
Yeah, MMA Junkie Eli is over there enjoying it. We are still, you know, having a few frosty beverages as well, but responsibly so, because we are in charge of
Frosty Beverage Cartel.
The Frosty Beverage Cartel is in full effect, but we're doing it responsibly, of course, as we're taking care of the young man just in the other corner of the room there. You know, just real quick, just to kind of put a bow on 196, I guess, I remain impressed with Conor McGregor's handling of himself post-fight. And I think that the way he has done that has really helped kind of shape the way people feel about him in the post fight. You know, sure, does he? You know, is he subject to criticism? Of course he is. And you know, are there things to say? Absolutely. But I think in the long term, man, not to say that a loss is good for him, but I don't think he's going to lose fans. I think if anything, he'll gain fans. I think people really are impressed with the way he handled himself, and I think. You know, again, not to take anything away from Nate Diaz, because this was the biggest win of Nate Diaz's career, and he deserves all the praise in the world for the way he handled himself and the way he stepped up on short notice. But I think in the end, Conor McGregor is going to end up getting more fans because of the way he handled himself.
And you could very well be right. I mean, I think a lot of the guys that were maybe Diaz fans, you know, probably converted over just for the fact of how he handled at the end. You know, he lost. He took it like a man.
I don't know if Diaz fans converted
well,
over.
Well, no, but I mean, but still, at the end, he gave him praise. I mean, granted, he talked a lot about the energies and whatnot, but he didn't bash him.
Right.
He didn't go and turn on. And I think that's where he took it like a man, was that, you know, I made a decision. You know, I'll take it. I'll come back from it or whatever. But he didn't bash him. You know, he said some, you know, relatively decent things, you know, comparatively to most of the other stuff that
sure.
he had been saying. So, you know, if anything else, I think some of the, you know, maybe some of the Diaz fans were like, all right, you know, he beat you, but you didn't talk shit afterwards. So, hey, you're all right in my book.
Right.
You know, my guy beat you up, you know, whatever. But you're right. I thought it was good. I thought a lot – he could have completely galvanized people one way or the other. He mm-hmm. could have either made them be like, you know, this guy's a jerk, this guy's a whatever, but he took his humble pie – and he sounded like a champ. He's like, I still got the belt. I'm going to go back. I'm going to defend the belt, which is what I wanted him to do the
right.
whole time,
yep.
Which I think is awesome. I think he's going to go back there and look even more impressive because of the way he works, his work ethic. I'm very excited to see what this does for him. I mean, I can only imagine how impressive he's going to look with how already – I mean, he already looks – every time he goes into a fight, he looks better and better. Now, this how this is going to fuel him, I think, is just going to drive him – so much more. It's going to look so impressive that I can't wait to see how he looks, you know, and you know, watch out for whoever finally steps in there. I think it's going to be one hell of a battle.
I hope it's Frankie Edgar. I hope it's Frankie. It sounds like it's going to be at UFC 200 for sure, which Conor had already been talking about that.
Yeah.
I hope it's Frankie Edgar. It seems like, you know, I don't know if this Jose Aldo thing is going to get enough momentum or what, but I'm really hoping it's Frankie Edgar. To me, not that Jose Aldo doesn't deserve it. I mean, the people that are Aldo fans that say, listen, man, my guy was champ for 4 years. You know, he was undefeated for 10 years. My guy deserves it. I agree with that, too. I mean, I agree with that argument, mm-hmm. but I don't necessarily buy into it because, you know, again, he had the chance. He got the injury. Then he got the chance again. He was out in 13 seconds. And I know things happen, but I just don't know if I can do another whole buildup like that of a fight that I feel like we've had – I mean, literally years worth of buildup for 13 seconds worth of fight. I kind of
yeah.
buy into the Frankie Edgar thing in that I want to see something I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, and that's true. And I think it'd be a great fight, but it's kind of puts Aldo in a rough position, you know, because if he is ready to fight, what do you do with Aldo? Who do you try to throw Aldo's way? I mean, do you give him Mendez again or somebody? I mean, you can't really set him too far back, so it's almost
true.
Like you have to kind of keep him towards the top there because he was just the champ. Hasn't lost since, you know, it was such a quick fight. I wouldn't mind seeing that one, but I do believe that Frankie deserves it, and I liked seeing the fact that Frankie's, like, calling for it, you know, he's sort of asking for it. I'm glad he's sort of stepping out of the typical Frankie shell and being
yeah, yeah.
quiet and modest and whatnot and just taking what comes his way and being the company man. I like seeing him ask for stuff and call for it and
gotta
really kind of step out there. I mean, I think the game has changed that much that now guys realize, hey, I'm not going to get what I want unless I ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not mind seeing Jose, but it's just weird. I don't know where – he's in a weird place where if you don't give him almost a title shot and then you don't give him Frankie because Frankie's maybe slotted, who else do you give him? I mean,
I could say – you could always say Chad Mendez. That fight's
yeah.
been exciting. Max Holloway needs that signature win to get that title fight. I mean, Max Holloway?
I could see that. I mean, nothing against Max. I love Max. I think Max is an exciting fighter. I think he's a really, really nice guy to work with as well, and he's always been, you know, great and do whatever you want. That's just tough. I mean, it's almost like saying that – I mean, Max is knocking on the door, but most people aren't saying Max is right there to get that title shot. And I almost feel like you're almost knocking Jose a couple people down.
Too far down.
If you're starting to put, like, against Max, it's almost like outside of the contender. It's almost like making it the fight to get into a contender shot. And it's like, wow, you're really pushing Jose that far down just because of a 13-second loss. It's almost like I'd rather give him a shot, let him get beat down, then say, okay, now, fella, now you got to really work your way back. You're going to have to probably fight a couple times before you even get back in the title contention. So, yeah, I would say I would be happy if they did give Mendez, let that run back, see how Chad's progressed since the last time they fought. You know, I thought the second time was a lot better than the first time. And maybe that's the is he singing?
I think he needs some help in the bathroom.
Oh.
I was going to let the segment kind of finish out there and just kind of pause it. But
it's even better like this. We actually even said it like that. You know, hey, I would be happy either way. But, you know, I would say Jose needs to be – if they don't do it, they're really going to push him back into where people – are really going to start questioning his position. And as being the former champ, I don't want people to start saying that right off the bat just because they're not scheduling the right way and maybe he doesn't have the right people pushing for the right fight. So who knows? I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it, but maybe Aldo Mendez is the way to go.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say about that as far as Conor goes is that – it really did remind me a lot of the whole Ronda Rousey situation in November, UFC 193. And I said it at the time, and I've stood by it the whole time. I really think she should have come to the press conference. And, you know, they said she was concussed, and that's understandable. I mean, if she really did need medical attention, then she needed medical attention. But I feel like we've put concussed fighters up there on the press conference dais before. I mean, you know, you and I both heard backstage that she was an absolute wreck. I mean, she was beside herself. And, of course, that lends right into the Ellen comments, you know, where she said, here I was thinking about killing myself. Again, I'll stand. I think that was just a euphemism for saying, you know, she was at the lowest point of her life. But I really think that would have helped her reputation quite a bit had she been able to come to the press conference and held herself the way Conor McGregor handled himself, where it was just like, hey, listen, you know, this is what happened. I got beat by a better person tonight, and I'm going to come back stronger. Maybe it's just a cliche, and maybe it goes unsaid anyway, but I really think that her reputation would have been helped out tremendously. And I just say kudos to Conor McGregor for showing up because, man, for a guy that put himself on the line like that, you know, if he just told the UFC, I'm not going into that press conference, man. I don't feel like talking to anybody. Man, that's their golden goose, man. You know they would have said, all right, Conor. I mean, we wish you would, but okay, that's your deal. You're not going in, and so I think he handled himself. And I think, you know, again, not to be overly critical of Ronda Rousey, things, you know, it was a different situation. But I think she should have gone that night. And I think this is a perfect example of why, in situations like this, you do go to the press conference, a little bit of damage control. All right, Nate Diaz. How about John Anik getting his 209 tattoo for living up to it? A little backstory here, I guess. I don't know how much we can share exactly, but we wanted to fly out to Florida and cover it. You know, I wanted to at least send you, you know, if not both of us went, but go document it, put together a nice little video for it, because we thought it would have been fun to show people him getting that 209 tattoo. But we're basically told, nah, man, I don't think we're going to do much press coverage of this thing. So just reading between the lines, you know, Anik, who's a very, you know, I mean – I consider him a friend, you know what I mean? We talk, and you know, it's not like we, you know, send each other Christmas cards or anything like that, but we talk on the road, and he got strangely quiet when it came time to talk about this thing, which led me to believe, I think he caught some grief for this kind of from the UFC, and because he, you know, I mean, why would he turn down us coming out to just film it and make a little segment out of it, and basically – he was just like, not wanting to say no, but kind of suggesting we shouldn't. So I think he caught some grief over it. And if he did, I mean, I guess I understand it. Maybe they're upset that their broadcasters are making picks or something like that. But I think it's kind of silly, man. I mean, I think this turned out to be a pretty hilarious overall, you know, part of this whole event. You know, the clip of Nate Diaz at the end of the press conference saying, you better go get that tattoo. And then him actually living up to it and getting it done. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and not only did he do it, I mean, he, like, did it. I mean, like, it was a lot bigger than I thought it would be. So kudos to him. But, yeah, I mean, I can see that. But, you know, we hear there people say that all the time, saying, oh, you know, I think this guy's going to do it. Or a lot of times those guys, you know, we hear Dominic, we hear the guys kind of all making picks. So I'd hate to think that, you know, it was just a matter of he kind of went out there or maybe set doubt. Like, I don't know if this guy's going to win. I'm, you know, kind of saying like going so far as to saying, you know, that guy's not going to win so much that I'm going to get a tattoo. You know, we hear all the other guys sort of pick and choose. And I don't know. I don't know if it was a matter of they didn't like the fact that he was kind of setting Diaz off on something and maybe thinking, getting Diaz in his head, thinking that one of the UFC staffers is talking shit about him. And then he's maybe, then it's probably got him going
that,
back to the UFC and saying, your people are talking shit about me as opposed to whatever. And, you know, so if anything else, they're probably maybe were just like, hey, just make sure you do whatever. I mean, and that's just Diaz misunderstanding how what he was saying and whatever. But regardless, he fucking did. He did it. I wouldn't have did it. I would have probably did the henna one or whatever. But, you know, I didn't have somebody threatening my, you know, well-being either. You know, that's kind of fucking a bit off as well. And, you know, kudos to him. I mean, but he did it. He did it strong, you know. So he's got my respect. I, you know, if anything else, I was wondering how the wife was taking that one, you know.
Yeah.
And how to explain all that. So I don't know if eventually that 209 tattoo somehow is going to morph into a family portrait of the kids and the wife.
Like, it just turns out that one of his kids' birthdays is February 9th.
He's like, baby, we got to really plan this. 9 months before that, we really got to get at it.
Too funny.
So, yeah, who knows? But it's an interesting situation. But, you know, yeah, I would have been more than happy to go down there and do it. But, hey, if it's something that, you know, the UFC's kind of giving them grief, you know, which that would be unfortunate. But I hope that's not really the
case. Especially
because
they were social media tweeting it and all that stuff. They were loving it, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, I know it's different levels of the company and different
layers
of the company.
Yeah, I mean, like, you got the social people. They'll see something. They'll jump on it. And, you know, then later on, it's almost like – ask for forgiveness after the fact.
Right.
Tweet something out, say something later on, and say, okay, I won't do that again, or I'm sorry, you know, blah, blah, blah. But
we won't cover John Anik's next tattoo that he gets for losing
his bet. Unless it's on his nuts. But, I mean, who knows? Again, all the kudos for actually going through it, man. That takes some balls. You know, I think if every media person out there would actually say something and gets checked by a fighter and for them to go as far enough to say, okay, I'll live up to my words that I said to you, even though he didn't really say it to him, but he kind of did it. But, I mean, I think that would put a whole new standard of if you had meaty guys out there really laying stuff on the line, you know, even if it came to the matter of, you know, if I had to pick, I put all my money on blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, hey, you said it. Put all your money on that dude. Let me see it.
Let me see the ticket.
Show me the ticket, you know.
This is literally all my money. It's $7.42.
Like, I meant all the money in my pocket.
I am a journalist, and I have a kid. So literally all my money is $7.
I'll tell you what,
$0.42.
I bet that tattoo, even though it was only three numbers, was more than $7.42.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Well, another funny moment coming out of this is we just kind of finished wrapping up 196. How about Misha Tate going to see the police officer,
Las
Vegas Metro officer that got busted for taking a peek? I mean, I'm trying to look on the guy's side and say, like, you know, I'm looking for some excuse, basically. But,
well, I mean,
he took a peek, right? I mean, that's...
He did, but he did really, really well. This guy, honestly, like, when I was looking and you kind of told me about the story, I didn't really know anything about it until you mentioned, hey, this footage of this security guy. I was like, what are you talking about? When I went looking and you're watching him, the guy did all he could do to not look. He was looking up, and he was looking up, and he was looking at it. And finally at that moment when it's just like, let's be real, Misha's ass is fine. Misha's got a booty. Misha got a booty. I love you to death, Misha. You're cool as shit, but you got a booty.
Oh, we like, got to see her next week. Just be ready. Hope she's not listening.
There was that point where it was right before the shorts went up, and I think just ultimately everything inside him from being a man was just like, you have one chance. You're within like 6 feet. Just take a quick peek. Nobody's looking at your eyes.
It was a rapid peek too. It was like
boom. He looked and he's like, he got it. But he's like a like he's probably serving the military too.
Right.
I bet he gauged and had a million thoughts all in like that 1 second of a look because he's so quick or whatever. But it could have been a lot worse. He wasn't like leering.
Nah,
or, you know,
it wasn't
really like he wasn't. slobbering over, but he definitely it's just the unfortunate thing that with the camera view, you're right there, bro. Your eyes are right there, you know. If anything else, you should have looked when she was on the scale.
Right.
Look when she's on the scale, because it ain't nobody over there looking at you.
Big lesson right there.
But when
there
he
for
walks
you.
Right over and she's right in front and you're in the camera view, you can't look, bro. You can't look. But I guarantee any of us would have thought about it if we were up there.
Absolutely. You'll be sneaking a peek next week. All right.
It just makes it sound.
We will be seeing Misha Tate and her boyfriend Brian Carraway in Australia. They are guest fighters down in Brisbane, so they're going to be making the trip down there next week, just like we are. So we look forward to hanging out with them. We talked to both of them. They both said they'd be willing to go out and grab a couple of frosty beverages and hang out. So hope we can work that into the schedule and see what happens. I've been on the road with Misha before, and, man, she is not afraid to toss back a frosty beverage or two. And now that she's a champ, man, I got to think she's ready to live it up a little bit. She's doing a lot of media right now, and rightfully so, you know, celebrating, doing the victory tour. But I'm sure she'll be ready to have a little vacation before she figures out what's next. We just wrapped up the weigh-ins for Invicta 16 as we sit to record this on a Thursday night like we normally do. Bit of an odd scenario there. Two fights. Fighters appear to be heavy. Irene Aldana and Erica Tabrasio both seem to be heavy. Irene Aldana was 136.6. Tabrasio was 106.9. Yet they were allowed to go on and fight. Bit of a bizarre thing. I mean, I don't know how much people are paying attention to the Invicta weigh-ins. It's not the biggest card that they've done. But obviously they always do have good cards. But it turns out that the contracts were written the wrong way. Basically, some states allow for a one-pound allowance. Now, Nevada is one of those states. Other states don't allow for one-pound allowance. Like, for instance, California, if you want a one-pound allowance, you have to write that into the contract. So you basically say the fight is not happening at 135, it's happening at 136. And that's how you get the one-pound allowance. Apparently, the contracts were written that way, and so the contract was written at 136, and then in Nevada, you get the one-pound allowance. Now, I don't know, man, I would think somebody would – I mean, obviously, this was just a mistake. It was not meant to be written this way. I'm sure, you know, somebody in Invicta, this will be a lesson for them. I would also think that in the commission, somebody in the commission would see the contracts and realize, like, hey, you don't really mean for these to be two-pound allowances, right? You only mean for them to be one-pound allowance, right? I would think that they would want to do that, but – but they didn't. So I thought that was a little bit of a bizarre scenario that I'm surprised just wasn't caught, to be honest with you. So it kind of left a weird taste in everybody's mouth at the weigh-ins day. As, you know, we saw some people kind of scrambling around saying, what the hell's going on with this? This isn't right. So a bit of a bizarre moment. But if you see anything in the weigh-ins, if you see the weird weights, maybe on the broadcast, that's kind of what happened. Kind of a weird, weird situation. But should be a fun card. You've been to several Invicta events. You've actually done some contract work for them in the past as well. So you've been at quite a few of these cards, and it seems like they always bring it.
Yeah, it's always exciting. And I tell people time and time again, like if you're unsure of women's MMA, you know, you've seen little bits maybe on the UFC, Invicta is a great way to get started watching a top, you know, from top to bottom, women's MMA card, and it's top-notch. I mean, these are people that either fought in the UFC or possibly going to be going to the UFC. Some are just happy being in Invicta and have, you know, no real desire. I wouldn't say maybe no desire to go to the UFC. They're completely happy in being in the,
sure,
in the Invicta. I think the organization, it's a good organization, and now that they've been hooked on Fight Pass, they're having so many eyes on these ladies that it's incredible. I think they're finally getting a lot more of the recognition that they deserve for being the top-notch MMA artists that they are. I think there's always going to be fucking haters.
Yep.
I mean, regardless, there's going to be some people that think it's no place for women, that it's a joke, that it's not as good as men, blah, 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 whatever. You know, that might be true when it comes to some things, that yes, they are, but you can't take anything away from their heart, their discipline, their effort. And I love Invicta fights. You know, I don't think I've ever been to one that I haven't had a good time watching the fights. And, you know, now here's another card with two title, titles taking place. You know, yep. Some of my other favorite. You kind of see a lot of the same fighters in different Invicta ones. So yep. I'm getting to see some of the ones I've seen fight before. I'm excited to see Angela Hill fight there.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be a beast in Invicta.
And it's on UFC Fight Pass, which makes it fun because the pacing, they don't have commercials to worry about or anything like that. They just roll fight after fight after fight.
And people complain, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm not getting pay-per-views on Fight Pass, blah, blah, blah. When Invicta hooked on to Fight Pass, it immediately brought up the worth of what Fight Pass was. Mm-hmm. And so just in my humble opinion, not that it's worth anything, just for the fact of the access to the Invicta fights when they put them on, and the library and some of that stuff, Fight Pass is worth – it's worth paying the monthly fee just to get stuff like this.
Yeah.
And then when you get the other little stuff, let alone like this weekend, I think Glory's having a fight that's on there. I think there's a pancreas that's happening on there. I think there's like three different things that's happening this week or something or this weekend. And, I mean, it's
crazy. It's almost getting to the point where they have like too much content.
It's almost too much.
I mean, I hate to say that because, I mean, we want as many as we can, but you're right. There's Invicta, Glory – Pancras. Next week, there's a Eurasia fight night. Then there's, of course, the UFC fight. I mean, there's just nonstop stuff there. It's cool, man. I mean, it's nice that you can always do that. There's so much stuff so much content to watch, so it's cool. The weigh-ins, if people haven't checked out the weigh-ins, they should definitely look at the highlight that you made that we put in the weigh-in results. You can see the main and the co-main, but you can see the Invicta fighters never have a shortage of personality, man. They always bring a little fun to the weigh-ins. Roxanne Modafferi dressed up as one of the Street Fighter, one of the Mortal Kombat characters, and then had the entire Syndicate MMA team dressed as well alongside in Mortal Kombat gear. John Wood was Raiden. That's one of the characters I do recognize. I remember back in my gaming days. Very, very cool to see all that. And then, of course, you mentioned Angela Hill. She came out and she did the Street Fighter reference there. Which was fun to watch. So it should be a fun card. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Listen, this week on kind of a more somber note, we're going to talk about some fun things. Chris Lieben. Big news came out about Chris Lieben. He was working his way out of retirement. He was coming back. He had signed with Bellator. He was working on getting a fight. And then he ran into some troubles with his medicals. And during those medicals, it turned out that he had a severe heart condition that was reducing his blood flow, according to a statement from his camp, down to 18% of capacity.
Wow.
Which is just insane. And had at least one doctor tell him the only way out of this is a heart transplant. You need a damn heart transplant. I mean, that is scary. I mean, fighters have to deal with scary stuff all the time. But hearing that, I got to admit, I was a little torn because, you know, we had talked to Chris Lieben a while back before his book was released, and you could tell he was hinting at a comeback. If you're a Roadshow listener, you knew he was coming back. That, you know, he would just kind of tip in his hand a little bit. And then he finally made the announcement. And I think there were a lot of people who were like, oh, Chris, you don't need to fight again. You don't need to fight again. But I don't know. There was part of me like, this dude is just a warrior. You know what I mean? He really is a warrior. And part of me was thinking, listen, if he thinks he can do it now that he's clean and sober, let's give him a chance to do it. And I was kind of excited to see him get the chance to do it, and now that's been taken away from him.
Yeah. That sucks. I mean, you never want to hear anybody have something where it's really, you know it's the end and it's life-threatening, and you know, because you feel so bad for him. You're like, this is a guy that put so much of his heart and his effort into his fighting, and he's fun to watch. You know, I mean, once you just get going, he was just a monster and a brute, but it's kind of hard to see them humanized and made mm-hmm. to a point where I would never say fragile or like frail, you know, from somebody like that, but to hear that, you know, something is so bad, you know, it just really, you see the mortality side of these athletes who are almost superhuman every other time we see them, you know, and it's just tough, and it's you know, it just makes you think, like, fuck, how am I still around? You know, these guys are in shape. I step on your scale over there on the ground, and I'm like, oh, my God, I gotta cut weight to make heavyweight. Oh. It's rough, you know. And but it, if anything else, it's more fuel to look at myself and look at other things and say, all right, Lang, maybe we need to make some changes. Because if guys that are at the top of their shape are facing issues, you know, it's something that all of us need to think about, you know, like, that we need to really start looking at better taking care of ourselves and other stuff. But, you know, not to wax too much and all that crap, but it's unfortunate because Lieben's unique fighter in the sense that yep. he just fucking goes at it. He just brawls. He just throws and throws, and he's either going to knock you out or you're just going to knock him out, you know, and always exciting, you know. Maybe the last few fights weren't what we wanted to see from when he was in there, but it was still typical Leben doing what he does.
I wanted to see him get a chance because I knew that at least fighting in Bellator, like, Scott Coker would not have a problem giving him, like, a showcase fight. Sure. You know what I mean? Like,
putting him up top, yeah.
You know, he gets it, man. Like, and putting up against somebody that you knew he could probably beat. You know what I mean? Like, in the UFC, there's no easy passes, man. You can't go, well, hey, let's just throw him against this guy. Like, that guy's not that good. Like, he'll beat him. You know, we used to see that in Strikeforce sometimes. You see these matchups, and you're like, holy crap, that's a mismatch. I know exactly who's going to win that fight. But then it's like, who cares? You know, they come out and put on some brutal knockout, and you're like, wow, that was fun to watch. So, you know, I thought he would do something with him. But with all that said, I did want to check in with Chris and just kind of see where his head was at and how he was hanging in there. So as we refill on these frosty beverages, and more importantly, I go check on my son, who's been in and out, jumping in here because he wants me to change the channel to PJ Masks, which I'll go put on that for him right now. As I go tune in the PJ Masks, you guys listen to the Crippler, the Cat Smasher, Chris Leben.
It's Chris.
Chris, John Morgan, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Does it still work out for you? Is it a good time to talk?
Yeah.
Well, let's just start out with it, man. Just horrible news this week, man. You're on the comeback trail, and then we hear about this heart abnormality that's kind of ending all that. How are you holding up right now, man?
You know, I'm doing pretty good, man. I believe it or not, I've never felt better. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's definitely kind of sidelined me. It was a crazy, you know, some obviously unexpected. The doctors were blown away just as much as I was, you know, but, you know, you just, you know, when something like this happens, you just kind of reassess things, you know, and obviously health is the number one priority here, and, you know, having a long, happy life. So now I'm just kind of, you know, doing the, you know, taking the doctor's advice, you know, I'm doing the medications that they're giving me, and then I'm also doing some herbal supplements that are supposed to help me out, you know, and then good, clean living.
Help this abnormality. I mean, you know, I read the statement from your team, and they said, you know, it probably your lifestyle didn't help things over time. But do they know how long you've been dealing with this? Is it possible to pinpoint that at all?
Not really, you know. I think it's been I have a feeling it's been happening for a while. You know, I have my beliefs, which aren't exactly medical, you know, at where the culprit is. You know, I think what it is, you know, when I went to rehab, and then they put me on a drug called Suboxone, which is what's supposed to help you get off the other stuff. But all my friends, you know, my blood pressure shot through the roof, you know. So for like 3-4 years, my blood pressure was through the roof while I was on this medication. Since then, I've been able to get off, and my blood pressure dropped all the way back down. I didn't even need a heart rate blood pressure medication in the end there.
Wow. That's not medicine, but it just seems like that could possibly be it.
You know, yeah, and they don't say anything about it, you know, raising your blood pressure or anything else, you know. You know, since I went to rehab, I've never taken any Oxycontin or anything like that, you know, for years. And I don't think, you know, narcotics are what do it to you. I think it was probably that. And then the last year of my relationship, I started drinking again on top of it, you know. So I'm sure those are... two causes, but you know, they said, you know, they were telling me that usually it's caused by, like, you get strep throat and then somehow it gets into your heart, or a very rare viral infection that gets into your heart. You know, they really don't know.
Wow, that's bizarre. I saw as you said, that you're taking medicine right now, but there are some doctors that are saying maybe you might need a heart transplant at some point.
Well, that's what the doctor said. You know, he said, you know, the first doctor was like, you know, I did the stress test, and he told me, the idea was to see how much I could push myself. But halfway through the stress test, where, you know, it's where you're hooked up to the EKG and stuff, you're on the treadmill. He stopped me before I even got going because I had an unsafe drop in blood pressure.
Wow.
He did mention, you know, maybe you may need a heart transplant or something, you know, and then he went on to say that, you know, you have to have a clean liver for over a year before you can even get on the list. You know, but then again, the other doctor, you know, and it's funny how that works. The other doctor said that, she thinks that I can make a recovery because my heart, when I did the stress test, actually got better.
Hmm.
So she thinks that's a sign that it's still got some life left in it.
Wow, man, this is crazy, crazy news. Well, I guess I just for fans to understand, I mean, there's no fighting after this, right? I mean, regardless of how this thing recovers, if everything goes well, I mean, you start having heart abnormalities. This is definitely the end, or are you still holding some hope that the comeback can start again at some point?
Yeah, we'll see. You know what I mean? right now, this is the big fight, you know, is trying to get this heart thing under control, you know, at least reverse the flow of the way it's been going. You know, I'm sure it's obviously been slowly progressing. So, you know, my goal is my physical and mental health right now.
Yeah, understandably so. So I guess it changed your plans a little bit. I mean, you were training for a fight and getting ready for all that. I mean, frustrating. Okay with it, dealing with it. I mean, what's the feel and what's the goal now? I mean, what's the plans?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously it's frustrating. I've never felt better and I've never performed as well, which is crazy because the doctors are like, we don't know how you're walking up a set of stairs.
Wow.
You know, much less, you know, grappling, doing kickboxing and then doing strength and conditioning, you know? So when there's no choice, there's really, you know what I mean? When there's no other options, it's not really a problem. You just deal with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. So, I got a couple irons in the fire, you know, obviously pushing the book sales for now. But also I've been, you know, focusing on real estate. So I took two of my three tests. Now I got one more test in my final exam, and I will be a licensed real estate agent.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm at the arena. I'm still in the gym every day. I'm in the gym. I'm coaching and I'm doing some training, probably not supposed to be, but I'm still in there rolling and moving around, you know. I mean, you know, what am I going to do? Roll over and die, you know? You know, and I think some of these doctors, you know, they tell you, oh, you can't work out at all. Da-da-da. I think that's bullshit to cover their ass, you know,
just to make sure nothing happens.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to get sued, you know, so.
Well, is it tough to stay positive at all? I mean, have the demons crept back, or are you at a point in your life where you're past that and it wasn't a problem?
Believe it or not, man, I've been through so much shit, it's just another thing, you know, another thing that I got to deal with. And, you know, luckily it kind of sucks because, you know, I finally, you know, I'm 100% sober. I've been staying sober. I'm eating. I'm on my diet. And then I don't get a fight, which sucks because I was excited to see how I was going to perform,
right?
You know, but, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm just looking to have the most smoothest, relaxing, you know, happy life possible, you know? So I'm just looking at what I can do, this issue now.
Yeah.
How can I handle the issue and what can I do, you know, to make sure that I'm providing financially for my family and everything else.
No doubt. Well, what can fans do? I guess, I mean, obviously you remain one of the most beloved guys in the sport. I'm assuming rush out and buy the book, number one. Is that pretty much it? Is there anything else fans can do for you right now?
Rush out and buy the book. But if you're going to buy it, don't buy it on Amazon. Buy it off my Facebook. I get a better cut.
Oh, nice.
Do it that way. So it's available right on my Facebook, and I'll sign that copy for them.
Oh, very cool. So they can get it autographed from you if they order it through your Facebook.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so we'll send them to the Facebook page so they can do it there. And anything else that you're doing right now, or is that just the main thing?
Yeah, that's the main thing, you know. If somebody decides they want to send me a ton of money, I'm cool with that too, you know.
That's awesome. Well, I guess soon enough, if they're in a market in the market for a house in San Diego, they can hook you up there too, huh?
Absolutely. Who doesn't want to go look for houses with Chris Lieben, right?
That sounds like an adventure in itself, man. Well, Chris, man, it's obviously hated to hear the news, man. But at least you're in good spirits. Any other thoughts, messages, anything like that that you do want to get out there for the fans?
You know, not especially. Just, you know, don't sweat it too much. You know, it's I'm working through it. You know, it is what it is. You know, and I do hope, you know, with the book and kind of with my heart issue and everything that I've been through, you know, maybe I can, you know, turn this into, you know, just talking to some kids and talking to some people and helping them realize that everything in excess, nothing in moderation, probably not the best way to live. Mm. You know, it took me a while to learn that, but, you know, and now I have to deal with the repercussions. So, you know, I'm looking, you know, in the future to, you know, talking to some kids about overcoming, you know, drugs and adversity and all that good stuff, you know. So
makes sense.
That's about it, man.
All right, brother. Well, best of luck in your recovery and hope things keep going well. And, of course, we're always here for you if there's anything we can do.
Right on, brother. Thank you.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was Chris Lieben going through some rough times. We're trying to keep a positive head about it. Listen, if you haven't ordered his book, you can do what he said. Order it from his Facebook page. He'll autograph that bad boy for you, and he gets a better cut of it. Cut Amazon out of this, man. They make enough money. They don't need to take any of his money.
They got a little bit of money.
They're doing all right.
Yeah.
Listen, if you like the MMA Roadshow, you love what you're hearing, subscribe to us on iTunes. Do us that favor. That way it's just delivered to you every week. You don't even have to think twice about it. As soon as it comes out, you get it. While you're there, do us a favor. Rate us and review us. That helps us kind of grow the reputation of the show and it could open some doors for us down the line. You know, I went to the New Zealand store based on some guests that we have lined up here in a second. And just to see, because, you know, I told you I found out a couple weeks ago there's different countries have different stores.
Yeah.
So I went to the New Zealand store. Not a single review yet from New Zealand.
Oh.
I'm kind of hurt, man. We went to Auckland. Yeah. We put in the work.
Where's all the Kiwis at?
We spent some money. We contributed to the local economy.
That we did.
That needs to change. So I'd like somebody in the New Zealand store to leave us a review, to be the first one, the first Kiwi to hook us up. That needs to happen.
When somebody does, I'll work on a Kiwi accent to properly thank them.
This is Conor McGregor if he was from New Zealand.
I got to work on that.
Hello, Governor.
Hello. We're taking over.
All right, we are heading down under. We're heading to Brisbane on Monday. We're heading out. I lose my birthday, actually, in the air. My birthday is March the 15th. I am turning 38 years old. I'm getting old, brother. You're older. I'm sorry. Yeah. I shouldn't have said that. So, yeah. Well, I'm getting young. No, I lose my birthday in the air, though. I take off on March 14th. I land on March 16th. So I know that happened to you one time before.
Yeah, I want to say, was that this birthday?
Singapore or something like that? Or?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if it was this year or last year. But, yeah, it was the same deal. It's one of those things that, you know, you're sitting on the plane. You're like, hey, it's my birthday. But at least you'll have me there with you. I was on the plane with nobody, and I had these ideas in my head like, oh, yeah, it's going to be me and the stewardesses. We're going to be drinking. We're going to have a great time. And it was like all dude. It was like stewards or whatever. And they were – everybody's older, and I'm just like, this sucks. This is not how I want to spend my birthday. And – you know, they still gave me had some wine or whatever to celebrate with myself. But I think we'll still find time to have a few frosty adult beverages.
And do that. Have a little bit en route. We've got a lot of coverage planned down there. We've already kind of started lining up some things that could be a lot of fun. So looking forward to that. Other news this week, UFC 198 was made official. We got a lot of travel coming up, man. I was busy on these couple days off that I did have. I was busy, first of all, filling out a bunch of receipts, man. Ugh. Yeah, I think you should be the one that starts to handle receipts from now on instead of me, man. It's like I have to handle everything. It's terrible, man. I was processing all that, and we're starting to book the flights for the spring coming up. We got a lot of travel coming up, man. After Australia, we'll have Croatia not that far behind. Then we'll have I'm actually going to the Netherlands. You won't be heading there, but the young Mike Bond will be over there, and then you and I will hook up in Brazil. So we got a lot going on in the next 2 months or so, but that – Brazil card in Curitiba Good-looking card. It's going to be a big card, and what I'm really excited about, it's a stadium show. We've been talking about a stadium show in Brazil for a long time. It's finally going to be a reality. Listen, the economy down there is tough right now. They've got some struggles going on, but this is a fantastic card. Fabricio Werdum, Stipe Miocic in the heavyweight title headliner. Vitor Belfort versus Ronaldo Jacare Souza in the co-main. You got Little Nog on there. You got Demi and Maia on there. Some fun fights. 40,000 seat Brazilian arena. I'm stoked to see it, but those stadium shows are always a little bit fun, and I think that crowd of Brazil, if they can sell the stadium, it's going to be a lot of fun. But one of the things I'm really intrigued is that Cristiani Cyborg Justino is openly campaigning for a spot on that card and saying, listen, I know there's no 145-pound division, but I was born here. This is my home. The UFC is coming to my home. Put me on this card. And you know what? I think I'm cool with that, man. I think I want the UFC to get on board with this. I don't know if there's any way in hell that they'll even consider it, but I would love for them to sign Cyborg. I mean, they're already paying for Cyborg anyway. They already pay Cyborg salary. I would love for them to have a one-off fight, one deal, no promises of a Ronda Rousey on the other side, no promises of a Miesha Tate, no promises of a Holly Holm, no promises of anything, but just Cyborg at 145 against some opponent on the Curitiba show.
That'd be awesome. Fucking give her Ronda. Let Ronda have a build up.
Oh yeah, welcome back to the UFC. Here's Cyborg at 145.
Hey, you know. Why not? Cyborg always, man, she delivers, man. She is a fun fighter to watch. Yep. So, you know, hey, all the more power to them if they could get it worked out, but I just don't know who they would bring in if it's just, you know, I'm sure they could find some random Brazil athlete to fight her down there and just to do that. And I guess if anything, that's fine. I mean, there's usually always some Brazilian that's making a debut on it anyway, so why not do something along those lines? I mean, but even just who you said already, that card's stacked. That's awesome. That's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, they're trying to get Anderson Silva on there too if they can. He wants to fight there.
Why not? I mean, especially when the fact that it used to be there, it seemed like every month or every other month they were in Brazil, and now that nothing's been there in quite some time. So, you know, I'm sure they're itching for it. So,
a lot of people saying Shogun could end up on there as well. Of course, he just ducked out of that fight in Florida in April due to an injury. But I'm hearing a lot of people say, you know, not questioning his injury, but saying it sure is convenient. You know, I mean, he's got a lot of history there as well in Curitiba, and you know, maybe he could pop up on that card and, you know, heal up in a month and pop it on that card. I think that'd be great. Anderson Silva said he'd like to fight there. Tried to get the fight with Gegard Mousasi. Gegard, we talked to his manager this week, Nima Safapour, and he just said, listen, man, that's too soon. Like, we'll take the Anderson fight. We'll definitely take the Anderson fight. We'll do it at 199. We'll do it at 200. But we're just too close to 198 right now. Can't get down to waiting time. Can't get our training camp done in time. And I think that's understandable, so we'll see what happens. I don't know if they'll get anybody for Anderson or not, but, man, if they can get Anderson on this. I mean, if they could add an Anderson and a Shogun to that card, now I have no doubt in my mind they sell out 40,000 seats, you know. And yes, this Cyborg thing would be weird. I mean, you'd basically be adding a division for one night. You know, you're not going to have 145-pound fights moving forward in the women's division, but I just think it would be kind of cool. I mean, listen, you know, we still got CM Punk hanging around out there. You know, we're bringing in guys off the street to fight for CM Punk. I mean, there's just things out there. You know what I mean? It would be a weird move, but in Brazil, in Curitiba, like, I think you could get away with it.
Yeah, and I wonder if maybe, I mean, she's pushing for 145. It's like, hey, you got 3 months. Can you drop 10 extra pounds?
I'm done with that, man. I've had that conversation for so many years.
Can you get down? You know, and it's true. I know she – didn't she get – she got out to 140.
No, she was supposed to, and then she decided not. And then Ronda lost, and she was like, never mind.
Well, yeah. Well, that's a whole other discussion, talking about Ronda now coming back. All of a sudden, she's now ready or whatever and willing to jump back in.
Yeah, I'd be ready to fight somebody I've already beat twice, too.
Yeah, right? Wait, I feel good all of a sudden. I'm good. I'm ready to come back. I'm back in the gym. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess it would seem sort of like a little – circus sideshow just to throw some random thing that if there's no plans to create a division, there'd be this weird one record, you know, one fight category off to the side, asterisk, whatever, that maybe they don't want to deal with. But, you know.
I say, who cares?
Yeah, I'm down for it. I mean, I like that she's fighting Invicta, but it's long overdue, man, to get her over in. But, I mean, I wish she could get her weight. She's just so damn big and so damn powerful. But it'd be interesting because that's one of those ones that could just bring a lot of eyeballs, because I think immediately once she gets in, people will be drawn to watching her fights because she's so dominating when she fights.
Scary.
It is scary. Scary. It is very scary.
She hurts chicks, dude.
And people that have never, if you, well, granted, everybody, if you're listening to this show, you know who Cyborg is. So it's not like, hey, if you've never heard of Cyborg, go look at Cyborg.
Through the channels.
Because if you're listening to us, you're already a diehard. You're well-versed in the Cyborg world, but. Trust me, there are people out there that don't know who the fuck Cyborg is. And I think once they see Cyborg, they're going to be like, holy shit, this chick should be fighting dudes, you know?
Yeah, I agree, man. I think she should be there. So, long shot, but, you know, maybe Giovanni Decker will be calling for it. We'll try to get a hold of him, see what he thinks about it. Listen, lost in last week, that just because we had so much going on, a lot of great content from that EA Sports UFC 2 launch. Luke Rockhold, Chuck Liddell, Joanna Jacek, Demetrius Johnson, Dominic Cruz, Big Ben Rothwell. Man, everybody was on point. And at this point, we've gotten all that video up on MMA Junkie. So if you missed any of that, go back and watch it. We've got a YouTube channel. The UFC MMA Junkie YouTube channel is starting to get a little bit more populated. We're still not necessarily controlling it quite yet the way we should be, but we're going to get to that at some point. But it's on YouTube as well, so you can go back there. And check those out. A lot of really good content that came from that. I should say, too, as soon as we wrap this show, I just saw that I got an email with a code to download the PS4 version of EA 2. So I'm going to...
Really?
Yeah,
while
you're driving home and editing, I will be playing video games, just to let you know.
The game was really impressive. I did realize that I suck at it.
Yeah. We were not doing very good.
A lot of fun. Gameplay was interesting, you know, and I'd... You know, some of the characters, you know, looked very, very like the players and or the fighters, and some were a little iffy. But we'll let you guys decide.
Yeah, I'm not a huge gamer, but I'm excited. I just like seeing the graphics and the improvements and stuff like that. So I have a PS4. I probably play about 3 or 4 hours a year of video games, but you know. It's kind of fun to see it, so I'll play a little bit when it comes out. But I did think the fun thing to me out of all that content was the fact that Dana White scrummed a little bit. Of course, we played it at the end of last week's episode, but just the revelation that Joanna and Claudia brawled after the close of the Tough 23 filming, I think that was the most exciting part to me. Kind of got me a little hyped up for Tough 23.
That it did. And that's the thing. It also just made me miss those just Dana scrums where, you know, Dana would just kind of give you these little tidbits, these little morsels where you're just like, thank you, Dana. That was awesome. You know, because you just hear these little things and it's sad that it got to the point, you know, finally where they've pulled him back and he's kind of separated. I'm sure there was a lot of drama. I can only imagine when he's in his good moods, he'd do it for an hour or so afterwards, man. And it would just never end. And then it always got to a point where you just wanted to look over at some random journalist and be like, seriously, dude, that's what you started asking questions, and I think it eventually got on him, and eventually...
I think the biggest thing that he's told me is just the fact that he got sick and tired of, like, talking to us for an hour, and then the one thing that makes a headline is, like, one thing that he said that's taken out of context that's maybe being used the way he meant it, maybe it's being twisted a little bit, but it's like, dude, I sat here and talked to you for an hour, and that's the one story you write? Like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah. But it was great. It was great that he did it. I felt, if anything, that we were rewarded by doing the thing. And kudos to the UFC PR staff for actually, you know, shuttling him on over. You know, it could have just been, you know, fine and good with the guest fighter. So that was great. But, yeah, it was great hearing that story. It was just immediately, I mean, you know, we know that tough seasons are going to come, you know, and there's going to be some good things and bad things. And, you know, I've kind of fallen off the radar as for just making sure that I watch him and see what's going on. But
it's understandable.
You know, this, it helped reinvigorate it for me, just hearing the little backstory and then seeing the unstoppable presser and then seeing those two side by side and seeing the sparks fly, I was just like, oh man, I'm excited to see how the season
goes. Seeing our boy Joe Williams up there on stage, they had to put Joe Williams in between them.
Yes, good, my boy Joe. You know, I mean, you know it's real. If you got to put Joe up in the middle, you know that shit could go down. Like, that's real. I mean, that's the only time I could ever think where they really placed a security in the middle for everybody to see right smack in the middle. Like, these guys don't like each other so much, you need to be there.
The poor Joe, who basically would just prefer to be as far under the radar as possible, is literally standing in the most, like, central position of
right
the entire
over Dana's
stage.
Head. Like, seriously?
That was fantastic. That was some good content. So if you missed any of that, definitely check some of it out on what might be kind of a slower MMA weekend, because there was a lot of good content in there. Well, listen, we were looking ahead to UFC Fight Night 85, so I said, you know what, I better start my interviews a little bit early. Do have a little bit of time this week, so reached out to James Tahuna. James Tahuna fights Steve Bossy at UFC Fight Night 85 in Brisbane, Australia. James Tahuna, a name that you probably remember but haven't heard in a while, because he hasn't fought since June 2014 when he lost to Nate Marquardt in Auckland. That was a memorable night for you, because that was the night that James Tahuna's people destroyed part of your camera
gear,
right?
Oh, the Haka Warriors. Oh, yeah. Smashed into me. I'm leaving. Was out there filming the Haka Warriors because they walked in with them. And then I went back onto the outside of the camera, the curtains, and was getting ready. I think I had to shoot something or whatever.
This was still during your UFC days?
Yeah, still when I was working for the UFC. And then when I was starting to go back in through the curtains to go back into the arena, was at the exact same point when the Haka Warriors had finished doing their dance and were in, like, full sprint running out of the arena. And we happened to walk through the curtains at the same time. And smashed head on into me, driving into my camera, broke part of my camera off. Like, literally, I don't think I went to the ground. But I remember I came pretty darn close. Gave me a fat lip. Didn't drop my camera, but it broke my mic off. It broke part of it off. I'm surprised. I probably should have checked to see if I had a concussion. But it's like one of those things where it's just like you're. It's the night was still had work to do. You know, you have to get back in there, but. Oh, yeah, I was not a happy camper after that one, taking a nice full-on sprint
into
the face.
And James said that's why he took so much time off, is because he felt bad about what happened to you.
Well, I appreciate that, James. It's a
No, we didn't talk about your broken camera, unfortunately, I'll admit. But he did talk about the fact that, first of all, that was a huge night for him. I mean, you remember all the buzz that was around him that night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, being in the main event, and then for it to go down the way it went, you know, he said it was pretty devastating for him. And admits that he kind of lost the passion for the sport. And so he took a lot of time off, healed up some injuries, did some soul searching, basically decided if he still wanted to do that. And now he's back. And this is a big moment for him, because he's got to win. I mean, he's on a 3-fight losing streak, and the UFC is still giving him another chance. They're bringing him back. And, man, he sounds in good spirits. He sounds more focused and ready than ever. And it sounds like he really took the necessary time away. You know, he said, listen, he's, you know, been fighting professionally for 14 years. This is something that takes a lot out of you. And so I thought it was kind of cool for him to recognize that and to kind of walk through what happened to him. So, yeah, we're going to re-up on some frosty beverages here. Check on the little man over there. I think he's done watching PJ Masks. Looks like some Jake and the Neverland Pirates on over there right now. You learn these things when you have a young kid. I'm going to make sure he's doing all right. While we do that, you can listen to James Tahuna. This is John.
Hey, it's Pete.
Hey, Pete, what's going on, man?
Hey, yeah, good, mate. And we're, mate, you're smashing out ANZ at the moment, Australia, New Zealand. You're just all over it.
We got it, baby. That's how we do.
Look, I've got James on the other line. He sounds in pretty good spirits as well. So, actually, I did a bunch of avails with him probably about a week or two ago, and he's been quite honest and open about his last fight and all the rest of it. So hopefully it's a good chat.
Fantastic. I appreciate it, brother.
All right. Here we go. So we should have John Morgan here from MMA Junkie. Take it away with James Tahuna.
Hey, Mr. Tahuna, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, pretty good, man. Yourself?
I'm doing real well, man. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know this is a busy time for you, but I appreciate you carving out a few minutes for me.
Thanks for having me on.
You got it, man. Well, let's talk first. I mean, gosh, it's been almost 2 years, man. For those that don't know, catch us up, man. Where have you been?
I had to step away from the sport, man. Just had to find myself and pretty much heal up. The last couple of years of fighting for me didn't go too well, and I think I should have had that break then. I've been fighting for a long time too, like 19, 20 years. So it was back-to-back fighting. And just try to, at the end of it, I try to figure out certain paths and that didn't work. And at the end of it, I just needed to have a break and rethink about what I wanted to do with my career. In that time, I had a lot of rest and eventually got the motivation back to enjoy training again and wanting to fight this time.
And there was you had a shoulder surgery in there at some part of it too, right? Were there any other nagging injuries, or was it more?
Yeah, I had my shoulder done for the second time, and to be honest, after my last fight against Marquardt, I didn't want to. I was done. I was finished, and I thought, you know, I'd just let everything heal up, and I was aiming for now. Kick out, but if I was really hungry to fight, I would have made it. You know. Would have made it on that card. And then it wasn't until late last year I started getting hungry again and wanting to train, wanting to fight. I think wanting to train was the biggest step, because the fight's the easy part, but I always look at what's involved around it, you know, the hard work leading up to the fight. So this time around, I actually wanted to train, and everything's going well.
I know that headlining fight in Auckland was such a big night for you, and it didn't go your way. I did kind of wonder about you after that. I kind of thought after that moment, like, gosh, I wonder if he'll walk away. So, I mean, you were close to it. You were close to calling it a career.
Yeah, I just didn't enjoy training or anything. You know, I was going to the gym hurt, and just simple things like breaking thumbs, dislocated fingers, fracturing the shoulder, did a shoulder surgery before the fight. I hated training. I hated training with injuries. I couldn't handle it. So I just really needed that to take time away, you know, rethink about what I wanted to do.
Yeah, not an easy career for sure, man. You guys have to really sacrifice a lot. So what clicked? When did something change where you go, let's do this. I'm ready.
I was teaching seminars in New Zealand late last year, and I was going around to the smaller towns and talking to the guys about how important it is to have a team of guys around you, because it's kind of something that I went away from. I was playing around to different gyms and getting too many different opinions, you know. And originally, before, when I had a team, I developed my own style, and when things didn't work out, I went to the next person, and I was getting all these different opinions on what I should do. And when it came down to it, I wouldn't do not one. So I kind of went away from what made me dangerous in the first place. So probably just too many voices inside my head. And I was teaching those seminars in New Zealand, telling the guys that attended that was happening, and came back home and just had a talk to the guys and brought back the that team environment again, and gone back to the way I used to fight.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How did you get through? I mean, I guess were the seminars helping you out? I mean, the tough thing about this job, you don't fight, you don't get paid. So was that how you were kind of supporting yourself, was through the seminars?
I was doing anything I could. Like, I'm a bricklayer by trade. So I was back on the tools, you know, getting days here and there.
Wow.
I was doing seminars to help out. I wasn't too sure what I was going to do. And then I started getting hungry again to fight. And then just started fighting.
Wow.
Started training, sorry.
That's awesome. Well, talk about, I mean, now that we're getting close now, I mean, training camp is, you know, winding down, obviously. Did you enjoy it? Was it fun again? Did you have a good time, or was it sacrifice?
Yeah, no, I had a really great time. Had less injuries and just done a whole lot of, added a whole lot of recovery sessions. I'm not in my 20s now, I'm mid-30s, so something I really had to make it a priority, you know, is recovering. So, yeah, I'm just enjoying training and less injuries and going back to having fun again instead of stressing about having a fight coming up.
That's awesome. Let's talk about the fight. Steve would seem to be kind of a fun opponent for you, man. I think he's probably going to want to stand and bang. I imagine it's the kind of fight you like.
Yeah. I just took one look at him, and he's a similar fighter to me. So it'll be a really exciting fight for the fans. I learned that he was a well-known ice hockey player, so right. he's going to be a tough guy. He won't back down.
No doubt.
It'll be a good scrap.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, it's kind of like a fresh start for you, but, you know, in the UFC, your record stays with you, and you know the UFC can't put up with losing streaks for a while. So, I mean, are you kind of feeling like you're in this, like in a must-win situation? I mean, is this a big night for you, or are you trying to not even think about that?
No, I'm just thinking about fighting, thinking about winning, and that's it. I'm not letting it get to me. I'm just thankful to have another opportunity to fight in the UFC. Now I've had three straight losses, and a lot of people already know that. And after two, you're not really looking good to have a next fight. So, after three straight first round losses, I don't know, it must be my fighting style or something that people love to watch, because I'm still in there, still getting another chance. So, I'm going to go back to my my old ways on how I used to fight, and that's what makes the crowd. Love watching me, I suppose. Yeah,
absolutely. I think it's definitely your fighting style, man. People love tuning into that. So, what do you think? I mean, is there going to be something noticeable that fans are going to notice the difference? I mean, obviously, it sounds like you feel great, in good spirits, your body is good. Do you think that's going to translate in the cage? Are people going to be able to actually see some kind of a difference with you?
I don't think it'd be much of a difference, man. Before, like, if I didn't have training in the bank, then I didn't do too well. You know, I'd let things get to me. I'm not really what you call an actual fighter. You know, I'm not like a pure fighter. Like someone like Mark Hunt, he's a pure fighter. He naturally, his natural instinct is the right thing to do. With me, I was a kid with two left feet, and I had to be taught these things. So I need stuff in the bank, and for me to get trained in the bank, I need to be injury free, and I've ticked all those boxes. So I think I'm gonna do quite well in this fight, so it'll be a good fight for the fans to watch.
Fantastic. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing you back in there. Any other last thoughts, messages, anything like that you want to make sure and get across?
No, man, all good.
Awesome, brother. All right, brother, I appreciate the time, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, cheers, brother. I'll catch you then.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was James Tohuna fighting Steve Blasi at UFC Fight Night 85. Fun little card. Not going to be a lot of media down there, I don't think, compared to our UFC 196 experience. But we're looking forward to getting down there for sure. Saw this morning, Cole Coffey. I know that you've been kind of just tucked away and not doing anything, so I doubt you saw it. But Aljamain Sterling and Leslie Smith going back and forth with each other on Twitter this morning. And I guess it's because of our good friend Fernanda Prachis that I'm just in tune to the somewhat sexist comments that can be had sometimes. And Leslie Smith was bringing the heat. She was not happy because Aljamain Sterling had basically made some comments about Brian Caraway and Miesha Tate, and calling Brian Caraway a housewife, and I think tagging a picture of him for International Women's Day, and basically putting down his manhood by calling him a female. And as our good friend Fernanda will tell you, the best way to put down a man is not by comparing him to a woman in 2016, because that will just not get you a lot of fans, especially when you have women's fighters on your roster.
It's true. I guess I never really thought about that. That's true. Yeah, I'll have to go back and see. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think – you know, we do want to watch what we kind of say. You know, unfortunately, I don't watch what I say enough. so I apologize for that in advance. But, especially I think when the guys reach this to that point of where they are with the UFC, it's unfortunate that, you know, we are a country based upon freedom of speech and whatnot, but you are in the public limelight and you have to watch what you say, because whether you want to or whether you don't want to be, you will be a role model or something that people aspire and look up to be. And I guess you have to kind of think about what you're saying. You know, it's one thing. I don't think anybody will bat an eye if you talk crap about somebody's, you know, his, how he is, how he dresses, the money he makes or whatever. Then you're just taking that man. But when you start going into, you know, sort of sensitive subjects, unfortunately, you know, whether it be like, say, the person's family or, you know, now in this case, a gender, a sex or whatnot, or maybe in somebody's religious beliefs or somebody's, you know, sexuality. Those are all subjects where you kind of have to have the presence of mind knowing that, hey, you know, maybe it's not something you want to throw out there in the public forum, possibly, without bracing for the fact there might be repercussions. But, yeah, I mean, saying something like that, I think it's typical. I mean, growing up in America, that's what it's what you did. You always did as a kid. You throw like a girl.
Right, right.
You did blah, blah, blah. But I think as times have changed, you know, a lot of the campaigns, a lot of stuff coming up was that that's not a bad thing. You know, I loved it. I don't know if it was Dove or somebody did a commercial, and it was like they went to the little girls, and they were like, they did older women as well, and they said, all right, throw like a girl. And all the young girls were just going right at it. And all the older women were kind of, you know, throwing sort of lighthearted and like playing around, because they somewhere in there they lost their just like this determination or whatever that they had as a kid. Life had changed them, you know. But I like the fact that it was showing that there something had happened, the perception, and it. And that was all part of this momentum where there's been this perception switching where it's not a bad word to right say something like that. You have to kind of do all this other stuff. But, I mean,
well, listen, I'm not a guy that's into the pussification of America where yeah everything you got to say has got to be PC and all that. But I will say that I think it's a lesson for future fighters. And Leslie Smith was trying to point out to Aljamain, like, hey, listen, I'm a fan of yours, but think about what you're saying. This is not good. And I just think it's an important lesson, like, listen, I mean, it's never good to be, you know, accused of saying something that's sexist or whatever anyway, but now that you got, especially that there's women on the roster, you know what I mean? Yeah. You got to be careful about what you're saying. If you're coming across as something that people view as sexist, you know, you're kind of insulting a couple divisions, including some of the biggest stars in the sport. So, I don't know, it was just funny to watch play out. Like I said, I guess Fernanda has warped my mind forever and made me look out for these things. But it was just kind of an interesting back and forth between two UFC fighters as one is trying to tell another, hey, yeah, man, this is a little bit offensive. And Aljamain was happy to kind of dig dig his feet into his position and just say, hey, I don't think it's offensive, and here's why. You know, whereas I think it might have been easier just been like, my bad, I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah.
And move on. So,
yeah.
Interesting. All right, well, Invicta FC 16, we said, this podcast gets released. It'll be Friday. Saturday, World Series of Fighting 29 is up in Colorado. Must-watch TV there for me in the main event. Justin Gaethje versus Brian Foster. I love watching Justin Gaethje fight, man. That guy was involved in two Fight of the Year candidates in 2015, undefeated, but does not fight like he's worried about that record, man. Just comes out to bang, putting his title on the line against Brian Foster, who has been around the game for a long time. And Brian Foster is no joke. He's a stud. I think that's a must-watch. Whether or not you want to watch the rest of the card, I mean, there's some other fights on there, you know, that are decent, but this is the one that I think you got to tune into. So Invicta and World Series of Fighting on Saturday night should be fun. Big news for us this week, Cole Coffey. The Black Beast is heading to Croatia. Derek Lewis is fighting Gabriel Gonzaga. Not going to lie, man, I got pretty pumped about that. He's one of my favorite guys in the sport right now just to watch fight. And when I got news that he was stepping into the co-main event there in Croatia, no offense to anybody else that's on that card, but it took a step up for me in interest level.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fun guy to chat with. I mean, and he just throws down. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a tough act. And it's interesting because I think a lot of people that I initially thought are saying he doesn't have the skills to compete with Gonzaga, that Gonzaga is just too well-rounded, blah, blah, blah. But it's hard to deal with that power. I think if he comes in, the momentum he's doing, and he lays hands on him, of course he's got a chance, you know? And I thought it was interesting seeing there's been some back and forth on Twitter with Roy Nelson and him.
Right.
Like, oh, hey, you know, like, I just don't think you're going to do it, blah, blah, blah. Going back from it, I was a little surprised. But, you know, and some people actually jump to Derek's defense, like, hey, Roy, why are you picking on this newcomer? And Roy's saying, like, he's not a newcomer. This is a young vet. He's fought. He's done stuff. So, right. Hey, you know, because I believe Derek's actually said, hey, you know, like, Roy'd be a good fight, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he wanted the Roy fight. Yeah. And they were both in Las Vegas for UFC 196. Derek came in as a guest fighter. Of course, Roy lives here. I shouldn't say a guest fighter. I think Derek just came in on his own dime because he wanted to be there. I saw him in the stands, actually, before the fight started. And he and Roy basically talked in the stands, just like, let's get this on. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. And I'm down for that fight.
Yeah.
But you can't blame Derek Lewis for wanting to take this Gonzaga fight in the interim. But if he wins that, him versus Roy Nelson, I'm definitely down for that fight.
Yeah, I think that'd be an awesome fight. And more power to him. Let him get in there and fight. Get another win, get another paycheck. And that fight is still going to happen. So, you know, I don't think Roy was hating on or anything, but I just thought it was surprised at another fighter. But maybe Roy's ready to fight, and that was a next logical opponent
for
him.
Put it off for a couple of months or something like
that. Yeah, so, but who knows? But, yeah, no, he's a fun dude, and I like it that he's a heavyweight. I wish maybe we could talk him into doing some fun stuff around town. We got him to eat the crawfish. Maybe we can get him to eat some random-ass whatever food, but that probably won't happen because I wouldn't want to upset his stomach and fuck
with
the fight.
That'd be great, dude. We get to eat some random food, and he's, like, puking the day of the fight. Like, thanks, guys.
Like, we're sorry.
Really great.
But he's a tough-ass. He's a beast. He would still fight, I bet.
He definitely would fight. He'd just be looking to fight us. That'd be the problem. All right. Well, again, looking forward to UFC Fight Night 85. Somebody else I wanted to talk to was Daniel Hooker, a guy that some people might not be as familiar with. Dan Hooker, the Hangman. 26 years old, fighting out of Auckland, New Zealand. I'm just a fan of this guy's style, man. He's a young kid. I like the way he fights. He's fought four times in the UFC so far. He's picked up two wins, one over Ian Entwistle, one over Hatsu Aoki, which was a performance of the night winner in Adelaide back in May 2015. He's also come up short a couple of times, once to Maximo Blanco in what was a hell of a fight in Saitama, Japan, and then he lost to Yair Rodriguez, who a lot of people feel Yair is the real deal in this division coming up. So I like the kid. I think his fighting style is fun. I think he's got a good sense of humor, which is always fun when you're talking to people. I always like him to have a little fun when we're chatting. He's always good for a good hip-hop song for his walk-in. He's got good taste in music. He's always bringing out some nice tracks there. And he actually went up to Colorado. He's been up in with Elevation Fight Team at the invitation of Neil Magny. Made the trip from Australia to go train in Colorado with that growing group of guys that's out there. Feels like he's really, you know, kind of taking things to the next level. And really feels like this is his time. And he's fighting close to back home. He's a New Zealander, so he's fighting in Australia here in Brisbane. And so I thought, hey, it's my podcast. I can talk to whoever the hell I want to talk to.
I'll do what I want.
Do what I damn well please. We bring you stars. We bring you top of level. He's fighting on the first fight of the night. But damn it, I think he's fun to watch. I think he's somebody you should keep an eye on. So I talked to the Hangman. So you get to listen to it now.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm going to speak with Daniel, please.
Yep, it's Daniel here.
Hey, what's going on? It's John Morgan with MMA Junkie. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, good, John. How are you?
I'm great, man. Pete said this would be a good time. Still work for you?
Yeah, I'm free as a bird now.
Awesome, man. Well, let's go back, man. Your last fight, Yair Rodriguez, man. I'm sure you were disappointed to lose that fight, but that guy is definitely a stud, man. He's a top prospect. What was your feeling after that fight about how you performed?
Yeah, my performance really let me down. I was really disappointed in that fight because I know I can do so much better. You know, I was in this position at the start of my career. Like, I kind of just jumped straight into pro and I was fighting away. Next thing, I'm 3-3, and the guys that I'm losing to, I'm just thinking, I have no idea what's going on. Like, I know 100% that I'm so much better than these guys, but they're kind of getting the best of me. And I'm in the same position now. Like, I'm 2-2 in the UFC. And it's just not the... It doesn't reflect the quality of fighter that I know I can be and that I know I am. So it was at 3-3, and I I kind of turned a corner and went on a streak from there. And I feel I'm in the same position now where I'm putting things together and it's I've got a clear idea in my head of what I did wrong and what I needed to change. I've made those changes and I'm ready to really take off.
Yeah, I guess is the move to Colorado, is that part of it? I mean, this is the first time you've done camp there, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, say I had I've beaten Yair somehow, would I have made those changes? And those changes have made me, you know, 10 times the fighter that I was, you know. So had I beat Yair, would I have made the move? You know, probably not, because you, with a win, you can justify things and you can keep doing what you're doing. But with a loss, you know, I had to do a complete overhaul, you know, and I made a lot of changes. Jumped on the next flight out to Denver, Colorado, to work with some of the best guys in the world, and it's really paid off.
Well, that's awesome. How did you end up there? Did you know some of the guys there, or did you reach out to them? How did that work?
Yeah, well, I met Neil Magny my first fight in UFC Auckland, and you know, I kind of followed him on there through social media, and I'd read his articles and things like that, and he'd talk about how great his coaches were and how smart he trains, and the guy's just so damn active. Mm. You know, he's fighting five times a year, and that's something I really wanted to emulate in my own career. You know, he was always in great condition, fighting very active and always healthy and injury free. Those are things that I really thought would benefit me. So I messaged Neil and he was more than welcoming, and I live with Neil now.
That's awesome, man. So he really helped you out.
Oh yeah, big time. Like, Neil has been the, you know, number one kind of biggest thing for me. He kind of has really guided me since I've been here and helped me out a ton. You know, I owe him big time.
That's awesome. We'll talk about the training itself. I mean, what have you learned so far? I mean, what implementations have you made to that, you know, to help you down that path?
Yeah, well, it's kind of just as much as the physical skills, which are world class. You know, we've got world class coaches in each discipline. It's kind of like a reassurance. You know, when I'm in the gym, you know, we had two world champions in the gym tonight, and back home in New Zealand, you know, I would YouTube things to teach at the class. You know, I was in the UFC, but you know, I was teaching the MMA class and the grappling class at my gym, and I'd hit pads there, and if I wanted a new technique for class, I'd just kind of YouTube it. So I was really just winging it, and I didn't know if I was on the right track. You know, I'm the first New Zealand based UFC fighter, so I really had no, I'm a very practical minded thinker,
right?
So it's hard to just grab this full belief out of nowhere. You know, some guys can do it, you know, they can just believe that they are, but I'm more of a practically minded person. You know, I think very practically when it comes to fighting, so unless I have some hard evidence of, you know, my level, then it's hard for me to kind of have full faith in that.
Sure.
But being here and realizing that I have been on the right track this whole time, and you know, the techniques that I have and my skill set is there. You know, I have a world class skill set, and you know, the coaches have really built me up here and added to that skill set and put everything together. And my mind's really right for this fight as well. So all the puzzle pieces have kind of clicked into place at the right time.
That's awesome. So what's your plan moving forward? I mean, will you come back to Colorado after the fight, or will you just do camps in Colorado and spend some time in New Zealand? Or what are you thinking right now?
Well, as of now, I got my fight, and then I head off to Thailand to train back at Tiger Muay Thai, having my wedding there in Thailand.
Oh, congrats.
So I get to marry my beautiful fiance and on the beach. So I'm looking forward to that. And then after that, you can't really plan too much into the future as a UFC fighter. You know, you make all these big plans and you have all these big ideas. That email comes through and that contract comes across the table, and it really takes priority. Yeah. Like, I'll drop anything, you know, if a fight comes up, short notice, I'm dropping it, you know?
No doubt. We'll talk about the fight that you have on the plate right now. Market Diva, a guy that, you know, he's had a couple setbacks lately too, but break him down. What do you see in him?
Yeah, I've been aware of his team for a very long time. Team Lecrae, back when we were fighting throughout Asia. So I've been exposed to his style and been exposed to his gym. Not necessarily him, but his gym and how they train and their style. So I kind of know what he's bringing to the table. And no disrespect to Mark, you know, these guys are the most humble, respectful fighters I've ever come across in my life. But I think that I'm just, well, I know for sure that my skill set is just on a different level.
Very nice. You are the first fight of the card. I wonder if you take any offense to that. I mean, I know they're trying to build up UFC Fight Pass and all that, but I doubt you want to be, you know, the curtain jerker for these cards.
Yeah, well, I have to. The way I look at it is, I am the main event. You know, in my head, this is my main event, and in my friends and family that are coming to watch, you know, this is. They're coming to see me, you know. This is all of our main event. So I'm going in with a main event mindset. You know, this is the biggest fight of my career. This is the biggest fight of my life, and I take every fight like that.
Sure. You look at your UFC record. I mean, 2-0 in Australia, New Zealand, 0-2 outside of Australia, New Zealand. Is there anything to that of where you're fighting, or has that just kind of been a little bit of a, I don't want to say a luck thing, but just, you know, circumstances, whatever. Coincidence, I should say.
Yeah, well, it seems that on home soil, I'm just a bit more confident. You know, I have everyone's backing. It's familiar that I've fought there, but it's those I just take as lessons learnt, you know, and I've taken the lessons from those defeats, and they really have molded me into the fighter I am now, and they molded me very quickly. That's what I've been doing my whole career. Is sink or swim, you know. They chuck me in with a tank full of sharks, and I just swim around and start biting people. And then I learn how to swim, and I learn how to swim quick.
That's awesome, man. So when's the wedding? When do you want to fight again? I mean, you said you drop everything, but I'm guessing a wedding is not one of those things you can drop for a short notice fight.
Well, as long as it's not that day, then I'm. I'm pretty fine with it, you know. They want me to fight the weekend before, then I'll do the ceremony with a couple black eyes, you know. They want me to do it the weekend after, then I'll go skinny and hungry. I really don't mind, you know. This career is, I give it my everything.
That's awesome. When's the big date?
24th of June.
Okay, so still got a little time then. You might be able to slide two more fights in if you're on that Neil Magny plan.
I was actually thinking that, so.
Awesome, man. Well, I guess just wrap things up. I mean, what are we going to see different? I mean, what do you feel like the biggest difference is going to be between this and the Yair Rodriguez fight?
Well, you're going to see me going in there having the complete picture and having put everything together and really showcasing my skills and doing my skills justice. In those previous fights, you know, I really have not performed to my ability. I feel it's 30% of my ability at best. So I'm going to go in there. I'm very confident in this fight, in my own abilities, and I'm ready to perform at 100%.
Fantastic, brother. Any other last thoughts, messages, anything like that you want to get out there?
Nah, we're good to go, man.
Awesome, brother. Well, I appreciate the time, and I'll be making the trip down there too. So we'll see you next week.
Awesome, man. I'll see you next week.
All right,
cheers.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was Daniel Hooker, the Hangman. All right, so New Zealand, where you at, son? We talked to two Kiwi fighters tonight. We got no reviews in the iTunes store, in the New Zealand iTunes store. Now that this is just kind of bugging me. So, Kiwis, step up. Where you at? Leave us some ratings, reviews. Do that.
They got him.
Everybody else, too, of course. Do it wherever you are.
Yeah, not just the Kiwis.
Not just the Kiwis, but I'm just putting the challenge on the Kiwis. We had two Kiwi fighters. Tell me another podcast based in America that had two Kiwi fighters this week. Huh? Nobody had that. All right, so
that shit just got real right there.
Listen, if iTunes isn't your thing, we're also on Stitcher and SoundCloud. You can check us out there. Of course, you can check us out on Twitter. You can hit me up anytime at MMA Junkie John. You can hit up at Ken S. Hathaway if you know who that guy is. You can also hit up the Cold Coffee, THE Cold Coffee, and of course at the MMA Roadshow. Just hit us up, man. If you ever got something you want us to talk about, people you want us to talk to, whatever, man. You got feedback? Hit us up. Yeah, we're down with that.
Let us know. I mean, you can definitely feel free to visit themmaroadshow.com. You can actually even leave comments on there. You know, been trying to put some more stuff on there and putting some extra little content and stuff and whatnot there, and trying to help build that up slowly but surely. So feel free to log in there as well. And, tell your families, tell your friends,
Tell your friends' families.
Yeah, tell your friends' families.
Tell your family's friends.
Tell your family's friends.
Did you just say tell your little sister?
tell your little sister.
Wow.
Hey, giggity.
Wow.
There goes that one lister from New Zealand. We might have
Damn
had
it.
Him.
We were going to get a good
like,
review.
No,
he's
sister.
Like, my little sister's 8 years old. What do you think?
I can't tell my little sister. Little sister.
Well, speaking of my little man here, what's up, buddy?
Yeah.
You were good the whole time. You want to say anything?
Yeah. This is Ernest.
That's all you have to say? You're becoming a one-trick pony. Do you have anything else?
Do you remember what I told you to say before? Remember when that's what she said. Sound like the seashells.
That's
good, man.
Funny. All right. Well, of course, obviously, hit us up on Instagram as well at the MMA Roadshow. There, we've been spending some time in Vegas with all these pay-per-views that have been in Vegas. Man,
yeah.
I feel like we've been here for a long time. It's been nice, I guess, but now we're ready to get back on the road. We got Brisbane next week. We
nice
got Croatia coming
flight.
After that. Oh yeah, nothing like a little 14-hour flight. None of little Jack Daniels and Xanax can't fix. We'll be all right. Croatia's coming up. Rotterdam's coming up. Brazil's coming up. We got a lot of good stuff coming up, and we're going to have a ton of coverage from Brisbane on this podcast, as well as, of course, MMA Junkie. So, all right, my little man I can see is running on fumes. It's about time for me to tuck this little bad boy into bed. So before we do that, let me just tell you, thanks for listening.
Oops. Yeah, distracted. See, that's what happens when you like a boobs. I went onto YouTube and was gonna upload that archive, and then the first thumbnail I saw, Craig Ferguson and some girl's boobs or whatever, and I was like, oh, boobs. Now I will attempt to actually upload said video.
Boobs.
This will be the wait, what? Pushing for the right fight. So, who knows? I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it, but. Maybe Aldo Mendez is the way to go.
All right, we'll stop there for just briefly.
I'm coming, buddy.
I love it. You should take your headphones in there.
Lisa.
Come on, blooper segment. Unfortunately, we won't get the play-by-play of the restroom break. We'll just pick it back up like we're.
I figure you could just do like some little audio something in there.
Good.
Like,
or I could just even just cut it from like I just ended, and you could just be picking it right back up.
Yeah. Either way. Whatever you think works. All right, you still rolling?
Yep. This is honest.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.